Greetings, good gamers, to another episode of the Daily Days Podcast, that retro show that takes you down nostalgic roads while still keeping you up to date on current trends. I'm Mr. Picario, your humble host, and this week we're going to do something I tend to do every 6 months to a year, and that's talking video game collecting, or more specifically, the future thereof. Gotta love a cappella, right? Anyway, we are going to first discuss the state of video games, really just a quick overview of what's going on right now with the hobby. So the good news is that the video games pastime is probably more popular than ever. Indeed, it was just announced that the PlayStation 4 has surpassed 91 million units sold worldwide. Now, many so-called pundits and experts thought that a 100 million unit sold number would never be achieved again after the huge success of the Wii two generations ago. But here we are in 2019 with the PS4 almost at that 100 million landmark. And not only that, but it will surely surpass 100 million by the time the PS5 finally arrives. Likewise, the Nintendo Switch shows no sign of slowing down in its own sales, and even the Xbox One seems to be holding its own. So great news all around, right? Well, not exactly if you're a collector. One, games are going increasingly digital, so if you're one of those blokes who likes having a game in physical form on a shelf, those days are quickly passing. One can see this in the suffering stores of GameStop / Electronics Boutique. These stores are struggling to remain profitable, and indeed right now GameStop is looking for someone to buy out the company to take over its risk. And while the pending failure of these stores is largely due to some mismanagement at GameStop itself, there's also the sad truth that people simply aren't going to stores to buy games like they once did. Again, because everything now comes out in digital form along with the physical, and many people simply choose to stay in their living rooms and download away right when midnight hits. And it gets worse. Rumors abound that the next generation consoles might employ streaming as the main method of people playing games. And while I don't think that's going to be the only avenue this time around, it is a real thing that's coming. These trends and upcoming possibilities raise some real concerns for the collector. I mean, in a generation or so, will it even be possible to buy physical media? And this raises another question. What happens to the collector aftermarket? All those games from past years, do they go up in value? Do they go down in value? Do people remain interested in, say, an old Super Nintendo or PlayStation game? Or as the world goes completely digital and people even forget a physical form existed for video games once upon a time, will those games just disappear like the 8-track or the Laserdisc and command maybe pennies on average? Or perhaps, might it go the other way, to where even a common average game, say a PS2 sports title, starts to inch up in value just because of the novelty of having something physical, something someone can actually hold and own, a concept we take for granted right now. Bye. So those are some of the problems facing the game collecting hobby right now. But there are other issues to consider, mainly the life expectancy of the games themselves, not to mention their respective consoles. For games, whether cartridge or disc, there's always that fear that one day that cartridge is no longer going to work for one reason or another. Simply, things don't last forever. Even more vulnerable are discs, CDs, DVDs. These get scuffed, scratched, gouged, and there is a phenomenon known as disc rot, in which the data on that CD, DVD, Blu-ray, or whichever begins to deteriorate over time. This particular problem is somewhat random, affecting some discs more than others on some systems more than others, and no one knows when or if it will strike their particular game. I have heard, however, that the Sega Saturn is particularly vulnerable to this issue. Cartridges are, of course, a bit more durable, with the main issue being cleanliness. Anyone with a Nintendo Entertainment System knows that their games oftentimes have to be cleaned. Those pins pick up grime and dust almost immediately. Another concern, of course, is the battery for certain games from the Nintendo, Super Nintendo, and Sega Genesis eras. Those batteries also have to be replaced every 10 to 20 years. But the cartridge itself, if taken well care of, will probably last a good long time, centuries even. Although there isn't anyone yet who can say that, right, as we're still in the earliest phases of the art form. So cartridges stand a good chance of a long life ahead of them, and discs too, actually. A common CD is expected to last up to 200 years or even more if conditions are met, so you PlayStation 1 collectors need not worry about the lifeblood of your collection just yet either. Those of you, however, who sport nice collections on cassette or diskette might have a little more to worry about. The lifeline on those formats, used mainly on early PCs up through the early 1990s, is much more questionable, and no one really knows if that cassette or diskette will even be reliable 10 years from now, heck, even tomorrow. People have already complained of their fine Commodore 64 collections, for instance, no longer working like they used to. Nevertheless, there might be value even in a game that no longer function so long as you have those inserts and the original box, as that's still history in the end. And this all brings me to one of my greater points, really the most important question. Is collecting still something worth pursuing in 2019? Well, the short answer is yes, obviously, but there are certain reasons I do suggest you go for. The value proposition, collecting because you want wealth, you want your collection to shoot up in value so that you can resell it someday, you know, an investment purpose, that's not really the reason I think you should be collecting in this day and age. In truth, I think the heyday of buying low and selling high are pretty much over. I know people still love to collect for, say, even the Switch, but if you think your Switch game is going to double or triple in value in later years, you're probably going to be sorely disappointed. Indeed, even Nintendo Entertainment System games, some rather obscure, others pretty popular, command no more than maybe $50, and while that's okay, that's how much those games cost originally. In some ways, they've even gone down in value compared to that, as inflation means $50 today is less than it was 30 years ago. There are always exceptions, of course, and Switch owners in this case might be pleased to find a few games in their library some years from now have indeed accrued a nice extra sum. But just don't expect it. Don't make investment your primary purpose for buying and hoarding. Yep, buy instead for the simple love of the art form. Buy for the novelty factor. Buy for the coolness factor. Buy so you have a nice conversation piece to share with your friends and neighbors when they come over and visit. That's the real appeal of collecting, having something maybe no one else does, and that doesn't necessarily mean your collection is worth something in monetary value, but it does have worth in another sense. It's a resource everyone can share along with you. Plan game nights. Write blogs. Shoot YouTube videos. Do a podcast. Have gaming get-togethers. Anything you can to spread the gospel, if you will, for games. I mean, there is nothing more special than actually having the original vintage console and controller and a game included. People, even non-gamers, will get excited at some of this sort of thing. Their eyes will widen and you will always have a good time. So, take my word, collect for sharing that gospel versus just trying to make a buck. Okay, I know many of you listening to this still would like my opinion on the value quotient. In other words, if you are to collect with the hopes of your collection gaining value someday or even right now, which games would I recommend you collect? Which system should you be buying? Well, the hard and fast rule is simply Nintendo. This company seems to hold on forever despite all the odds and despite its own mistakes. Nintendo seems, right now at least, more popular than ever, and it's hard to imagine a time, even in the far future, where Nintendo doesn't exist in some form. Recognition is the key word here. Anything that maintains a public focus, maintains a cultural resonance, if you will always be a prime candidate for collectors and investors hoping the early vintage material representing that company, thing, product, whatever, increases in value and/or prestige. We see this in Disney products, right? Disney is still very culturally relevant today, and that means anything from Disney's long-storied history stands to increase in value because people have an interest in it, maybe an invested interest, an ongoing nostalgic interest, versus some other product or thing that might have risen for a short time and then faded, like, say, CBS's Terry Toons that featured such distinguished characters as Hector Heathcote and Gandy Goose. Do you know who they are? Of course not, and you probably wouldn't care about buying their old memorabilia either, but you would for Mickey Mouse and you would for Mario. So, for as long as Nintendo stays relevant, I think its star properties going back to the original Nintendo Entertainment System will keep that retro scene alive, at least to some extent. That said, the NES, Super Nintendo, and N64, and now the GameCube, will probably remain as the primary systems to collect for a value proposition anyway. I do think the original Wii right now is a bargain, whereas there are many iconic games for that system too, but I don't expect Wii games or anything thereafter to accrue the value and worth we've seen on their earlier systems. The Game Boy, and especially the Game Boy Advance, is another spiffy system to collect for many reasons, and the oft-overlooked Nintendo DS might be the best portable of all just because those games can't be easily emulated because of their dual-screen design. In other words, an actual DS is pretty much required to play those titles appropriately, and I think this unique quality and limitation might make certain DS NES games the hidden gems of their era. Want to try Contra 4? You're going to have to find the game and a DS to make it happen. Other good bets, well, it's almost already too late to get into collecting for these, as people have already figured out their importance and quirkiness, if you will, to gaming as a whole. The TurboGrafx-16 is a great and niche system to collect for, but it's already getting hard to do so, as game supplies from that ancient era are already dwindling. Same for Sega Saturn, same for the Sega Genesis 32X, and Sega CD, but those are still fun, interesting systems to collect for, as is the Dreamcast. And really, you can't go wrong collecting for the original PlayStation, which still remains a bit more accessible than many of its contemporaries. Some games have spiked in value for sure, but there are still many affordable hits out there, and the system is one of the most important of all time. Probably in line with the Atari 2600 and the original Nintendo Entertainment System, as systems that really influenced video gaming for generations to come. Now, if none of these systems seem appealing for various reasons, maybe the games are just too hard to come by now, or too expensive, or the systems themselves too unreliable, there is nothing wrong with collecting for the current consoles, be it the PS4, Switch, or Xbox One, or even one generation past, PS3, Xbox 360, and certainly the original Wii. While I'm not sure most of these games are quite good investments, if that's really the only reason you want them, they are still, in many cases, great games, some of the finest of all times, that look great on a shelf and can provide many hours of value because they probably last for hours and maybe only cost $10 or $20, depending. But okay, you say, but if there was a system or two that might still become collectible someday and harbor a decent value, if I personally really had to say, I'd say focus on the Wii U, as that was a fairly obscure console, and it will certainly be so in the future, with some unique games despite the fact that the Switch seems to be stealing most of them. The Sony PlayStation Vita is another fine choice. Not only is it an underrated, niche, somewhat quirky, underappreciated system, but it packed some really good games that sometimes are not even available on other machines. So yes, I would totally put my money down on a Vita and some of its finer titles, both popular and obscure, as some of those may very well become sought-after items someday. And lastly, I'd say the 3DS. The 3DS is in the hands of millions and millions of people, but the library is very extensive, full of collector editions and quirky RPGs, all good ingredients to make a system a bit more desirable, a bit more valuable someday in the future. And that's that, everyone. I think it's time to bid adieu until next week, in which I will probably provide another gamer's quiz. I do hope this provided a little bit of help, a little bit of guidance, a little bit of insight and perspective in a sub-hobby of a greater hobby, which is just gaming in general. It's tough to say game collecting will even matter 10 years from now. Certainly people used to collect other things they don't collect anymore, and other things like vinyl, for instance, dropped out of popularity only to surge back one day, and maybe video gaming is destined for that too. Well, there will be a dry spell where prices are falling, which could be a good thing if you're waiting for a certain title to become affordable, and then things spike up again 10 or 20 years later. Either way, perhaps the greatest enemy to collecting is simply space, trying to find a way to store it all. So my last bit of advice is collect maybe for one or two machines. Don't go overboard, or you will quickly find yourself in an avalanche of games you may or may not really want. Take care, everyone. I will be back next week, and until next time then, this is Mr. Picario signing off.